Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Harry Carson, who played 13 years in the NFL for the New York Giants, recently became an author. Captain for Life, subtitled My Story as a Hall of Fame Linebacker, presents not only the story of Carson's football days, from high school to the Super Bowl, but his current take on the game responsible for the post-concussion syndrome from which he suffers. When I had the opportunity to speak with Harry Carson this week, I began our conversation by asking him about one particular anecdote in which he recalled what former running back O.J. Simpson had said to Carson after a game.
You know, I'd been in the league only a few years, and I was walking off the field after playing against the San Francisco 49ers. And O.J. Simpson was the running back of that team at the time. He had already had his heyday with the Buffalo Bills, and it was his last year. And I remember him coming up to me, and he tugged at my jersey, and he said, "Hey, Carson." And I turned around, and I said, "Hey, Juice, what's up?" He said, "Man, I've been hit by some of the best, but I've never been hit as hard as you hit me today." And when he said that, you know, I was floored, because here's a guy who at the time held the NFL rushing records. He had rushed for over 2,000 yards in one season. I took it as a great compliment.
In 1986, with Bill Parcells as head coach, the Giants won the Super Bowl. How important was that win in terms of your own self-esteem as a player?
It was a great win after those down years in the early or late 70s and early 80s. It was the fulfillment of a commitment that we all made toward one another. It was gratifying to me because for a guy like me and George Martin, who had been a part of the team during those lean years, we saw just how bad it was for the fans, for the players, for the Giant organization. And to win a Super Bowl, it was much sweeter for us as older players, as opposed to some of the younger guys who were coming in. So it was gratifying from that standpoint.
Having endured the difficult early years with the New York Giants when they won very few games, Lawrence Taylor suddenly joins the team. You guys look around and suddenly realize you may be the best linebacking squad in the entire National Football League. That must have been kind of fun.
Well, you know, when Lawrence first came to the Giants, he wasn't fully welcome because, you know, we had our apprehensions about our need for another linebacker. But it didn't take us long to see the talent level that Lawrence brought to the table. And myself, Brian Kelly, and Brad Van Pelt, we were three pretty good linebackers. And when Lawrence joined the fold, he made us that much better because we saw just how great of a player he potentially could be. And it just made us a bit more effective whenever we went into games.
You devote a large portion of Captain for Life to the damage inherent in the game, and you describe one play during a game against the Redskins in 1982 when you were hit in the head and found you couldn't understand what the defensive coach, Bill Belichick, was calling from the sideline. How did you hide your confusion from your teammates and coaches?
Well, you know, when you play, especially back then, you played a very physical game. We were playing the Washington Redskins, and we were playing down in RFK Stadium. You know, the crowd was rocking the stadium. You have Joe Theismann, you have John Riggins running the ball. You have those offensive linemen called the Hogs. You know, they're coming off the ball, and Riggins is a running back who didn't try to run around you. They ran one play where we hit head-to-head, and it was like two diesel trains colliding at full speed. And so I got up, and I went back to the huddle. You know, I was the signal caller, and we held hands in the huddle as a sign of unity. So I looked over to the sideline, and all of a sudden, everything faded to black. And it was just a momentary thing where I just lost my vision. Everything faded to black. I squeezed the hands of the guys next to me. And, you know, my eyesight was restored. I realized I was in a football game. I'm the captain. I looked over to the sideline. Bill Belichick flashed in the signal for the next defense on the next play. I did not understand what the signal was, and so I tapped my helmet, and he flashed the signal again. And I still could not interpret what the defense was. At the time, I didn't realize that I had sustained a concussion. For me, I just got my bell rung. And so it's not about keeping anything from my teammates. It wasn't about keeping anything from the coaches or trainers. It was something that was just part of the game. It was then. I think it always has been a part of the game, and I think it always will be a part of the game.
Regarding an ankle injury you sustained fairly early in your career with the Giants, you wrote, and I'm quoting now, "All injured players were going to be left for dead on the side of the road, like roadkill." Is that the way you still feel?
Yeah, because if you're injured, you are of no use to anyone. You know, football is a game where you have to be able to play. And if you're not, then you are considered by some people invisible because you're not a part of the solution. If you can't go out and participate in winning the game, you're going to be considered roadkill. Nobody's going to care about you if as long as you are 100% healthy. And you don't have to be 100% healthy. You just have to be able to take the field and be able to contribute. If you're not, then you are of no use to anyone.
Tell us about how you learned after your career that your head injuries were going to have long-term consequences.
Well, I knew something was going on when I played, and I couldn't really put my finger on exactly what the issues were. Once I left football, it was a different story because I went into media. I went into broadcasting. And I would go on the air, and there were times when I would lose my train of thought live on the air. And I thought that was an issue because I had a pretty good memory, but I didn't really know exactly what was going on. But there were some of these other instances or issues that I didn't even think of. I had tingling in my arms occasionally. Whenever, I would sit for a period of time and I would stand up, I would lose my balance or everything would fade to black and I'd feel like, I was about to faint. And on and on. There are all of these different issues that I was dealing with and I didn't really realize it. And so I went to my doctor for my yearly physical. He referred me to a neurosports psychologist, and I went to this guy. I went through 2 days of testing, and he came back, and he said, you have a mild post-concussion syndrome. And I said, okay, am I going to live? And he said, yeah, you'll live, because I was concerned that I had a brain tumor. I played in the New Jersey Meadowlands. I knew that the Meadowlands was built on a dump. I knew that there were carcinogens in that area of Rutherford and Sea Caucus and so forth. I also knew that I had old teammates who had contracted cancer, and one in particular, Doug Coder, passed away. And I figured that part of his situation was a result of playing in the Meadowlands. And so when I recognized that I wasn't going to die, that it was something that I could manage, then I just went on to, begin to live my life in such a way that I knew that I was going to have issues, but I had to understand the issues that I was dealing with and how to manage those issues.
As you say in the book, for years, the National Football League denied the connection between head injuries players suffered and conditions like memory loss and migraines, depression, and other neurological problems. Do you think that over the past year or so, the league and the Players Association have become more responsible about addressing the problems and challenges faced by former players?
Well, in terms of the league, I think the league is beginning to understand or get a clearer picture of what is going on with retired players, it was frustrating for many years because many of these players were suffering. Many of these players were dealing with issues and nobody really believed them. There were people who thought that these players were pulling their leg, or it was some way to get more disability or so forth. But the NFL, I think, is now more plugged into the issues of traumatic brain injury and neurological problems in the players. And I think they're taking these players at their word now more than ever.
You write that you would not want your own sons to play pro football, obviously because of the injury factor. And I can't help asking, if were someone to give you the opportunity to roll back the clock to the day after that first high school football practice, you would have chosen then to keep playing the game.
I knew at the age of 7 that you could get hurt playing football. And I went to my first college football game, and I saw players help another player off the field, and he was hobbling off the field. So I recognized very early on that you could get hurt playing. And I analyzed that risk, and I assumed that risk, and I think every player assumes that risk, that he could get hurt. But, you know, you go ahead and you play. From a neurological standpoint, though, if someone had told me I could sustain some kind of damage that might be lifelong, I would have turned down the opportunity to play. Part of the reason why I wrote the book is I want people who either watch football, have kids who play, want to play football, players who are playing football, players who have played football, people who just go out and buy popcorn and a beer and they watch the Super Bowl. I want everybody to understand the neurological risk that these players are taking by playing the game. They can recover from a knee injury. They can always get the knee replaced. They can always get a hip replaced. No big deal. You'll still be able to move on and be functional. But once you injure the brain, that is a different story. For someone who has already played the game, they may be looking at potential memory loss. They may be looking at Alzheimer's. They may be looking at dementia and so forth. I just want people to be fully informed now.
Harry Carson, who played for 13 years with the New York Giants, is the author of Captain for Life, My Story as a Hall of Fame Linebacker. The book is published by St. Martin's Press. And Mr. Carson joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Harry, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
My conversation with Harry Carson, Hall of Fame linebacker, will be featured on this week's program. I'll also be talking with our college football correspondent, Dan Wetzel, since I'm told the student athletes will briefly abandon the library for the stadium for a couple of hours this weekend. We'll learn about a group of men who've been running every day for decades, 4 decades in some cases, and if that's not extreme enough for you, only a game's Karen Given will have a story about some guys who got so bored diving off cliffs that they've taken to diving off a museum. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.